Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. And for those of us who are sticking around here now, I'm going to invite us to find our Bibles. We're going to spend some time studying God's Word. So if you have a copy of God's Word with you this morning, I invite you to find that. And we encourage you to bring your Bibles with you to worship. If you need a Bible to bring, let me know. We'll get you one. Or if you have your phone and you have the app on your phone, that's great as well. Pull that out and find our scripture passage. You at home also find your Bibles, and we'll study God's Word together. As you see on the screen, we're going to be studying the book of Mark today. Mark is the second book of the New Testament. So it goes Matthew, Mark, and if you're in Luke, back up just a little bit. Mark chapter 2 is where we're going to begin. Start in verse 23, and then we'll read to the end of that chapter and kind of spill over into chapter 3 as well. So Mark chapter 2, verse 23. We are in the midst of a short sermon series here at Westview where we are taking sort of a big picture look at Sabbath, the gift that this faith practice is for us. And we're kind of taking a big general 30,000-foot overview of Sabbath, looking at some of the biblical perspectives of Sabbath itself. And if you are interested in learning more and getting more into the nitty-gritty of that, please let us know. We have lots of resources out there that we can help you with that. But we're just kind of taking a look at some of the larger biblical perspectives of Sabbath. And so some of the things we've looked at so far is we've talked about how Sabbath is rhythm, or Sabbath as rhythm, that as people, we were made in rhythm, and we were made for rhythm. And then Sabbath is not to be something we add on to our already busy and crazy life, but Sabbath is our rhythm of the created order of which we are a part. And last week we talked about Sabbath as rest. And we heard Jesus, our Savior, offer that beautiful invitation where he says, come to me. Take off all the stuff that's causing you to be weary and troubled. And he says, instead, take my yoke upon you. It's easy and it's light. And so when we come to Jesus, that is where we find our rest. Now this week we're going to look at another biblical theme around Sabbath. But before we do, the other thing we've been doing every week is we've been hearing from one another. And so, again, we're going to watch a video here in just a moment on the screen, and we're going to hear some of our friends here at Westview talk a little bit about their experience with Sabbath, some of the blessings, some of the challenges of Sabbath, and so I hope you've been blessed as I have been learning from one another as well. So I'm going to invite you to turn your attention to the screen, please.
I am a Gallup StrengthFinder Achiever, so I measure my days based on how much I accomplish and how many things I check off my list. So practicing Sabbath does not come naturally for me. It does not come easily for me. However, it's that very shift away from my natural tendencies that I so desperately need and has become the blessing. I need a day where I can just rest and be restored.
The challenge of practicing Sabbath, I think, comes with the busyness of our today's society, our world that we're in. It's a blessing, I think, in that what we do, is begin our week by worshiping, by attending worship services. And following that, that helps us in the week.
With my jobs, sometimes my supervisor would ask me to do, you know, some extra work on Sunday. Or there's sometimes an unspoken expectation that, hey, yeah, you have the weekend off, but really we would like for you to do some work on Sunday as well. And I'd have to tell them, sorry, that's not something that I do. This day is set aside to focus on God, and that's important to me. So that's been a challenging conversation sometimes with supervisors in the past, and also with how people perceive me and interact with me. They start to think I'm a religious guy and they don't really want to talk with me. But there are also others who find that admirable, and we get to have good spiritual discussions about it. So it's been a blessing in that sense of observing the Sabbath, and people asking questions, I've been able to tell them about my faith in that way.
So Sabbath can be a challenge when there is a lot of work to be done, and there's especially if you have a busy week, or I have a busy week. One of the challenges I feel is that I need to catch up on things when I have some time off, when I'm not working. So I typically will work through Friday, and then I'll get to Saturday or Sunday and have the day off, and I'll say, oh well, there's laundry to be done, or there's emails to catch up on, or there's work around the house to do. And so I find myself working on the Sabbath, trying to catch up on the rest of the things I didn't do during the week or couldn't do. Some of the blessings of Sabbath have been rediscovering sort of my identity apart from work, for one thing. You know, who I am when I'm not having to take care of all the activities of work or the house. Rediscovering who I am in relationship with other people. Finding joy in activities, enjoying being out in nature. All those things are really rejuvenating and refreshing to me, and help me to have a better sense of myself and the way that God loves me, and the way that God has provided for me, and that Jesus has died so that I don't have to carry all these burdens around. And remembering that on Sabbath has been especially important for me.
Thank you again to those who have put those videos together for us, and for those who have shared with us. I hope that that's been just a gift, is to hear from one another honestly around our experience with Sabbath. So let's pray, and then we're going to study our scripture passage for this morning. So would you please join me in prayer? Lord, we are grateful again today to be able to gather for worship, to worship through song and through prayer, fellowship, and then also to be able to study your holy word. These are precious moments we recognize, and we pray that everything we're going to talk about now would be faithful to your word, faithful to, as we understand, Sabbath, hopefully even a little bit better today. And so, God, would you guide and guard every word that's said and every word that's heard? And continue to reveal to us just what each one of us, we know that you're a God who is present here and knows us. And so we pray that you would reveal to us exactly what you would have for each one of us today from this, your word. So we pray your Spirit's blessing over this time. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 23. Listen with me to these words from the book that we love. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions." Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Another time he went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked around at them and in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. And the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. Amen. One of the things we might notice when we read the Gospels, so the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we might notice that not everything is necessarily in a linear order. And by that I mean the Gospels are Gospels. They're the good news of Jesus Christ. They're a completely different kind of genre than a biography. Right, a biography about a person usually takes the person, all their life events from birth to death, all in order. And yes, the Gospels do go from life, from birth until death, but the Gospel writers take some liberties, where they take some situations and some circumstances of Jesus' life and they rearrange them, not necessarily in linear order, but they put them together in order to emphasize something, in order to make a point. And we've got a great example of that here in Mark's Gospel. The last passage of chapter 2 and the first passage of chapter 3 are not necessarily happening in sequential order, but Mark here is putting them together for a reason. Mark has put them together for a purpose. He has an emphasis. And that emphasis, I believe, is highlighted by what I'm going to call this morning two sound bites from Jesus. Right, two sound bites, right? It's, you know sound bites, right? You have to be careful with sound bites, yes? You ever have it before where you know that maybe you were interviewed for something. You know someone was interviewed for like 3 minutes and they were videotaped. And then what happens on the news? 10 seconds. And it takes everything out of context what you heard, right? Or what you had said. So you have to be a little careful because we talk about proof texting as well. You can't just take a verse out of Scripture. You have to understand the context. But I think what we're going to do this morning is we're going to look at the entire context and we're going to look at these sound bites from Jesus. And these sound bites, we're going to find, stop the Pharisees in their tracks. And they might stop us in our tracks as well. They might encourage us or even poke us just a little bit to dramatically reorient and reframe our understanding of Sabbath. And so we're going to look at these sound bites together. And what I'd love to do is start with the second one. So if you have your Bibles, leave your Bibles open, especially this morning, because we're going to be jumping around to a lot of different passages or a lot of different verses here. And I want to start in chapter 3 this morning. Chapter 3 has this sound bite from Jesus. It's in the form of a question. We find that Jesus is in the synagogue. The synagogue is this structure, this building in a Jewish town. It was for civil purposes and educational purposes and religious purposes. And we often think about synagogues in the religious light because we understand them most here from the Gospels. And Jesus is here in the synagogue on the Sabbath, and this is the day that is deemed holy by God, a day of rest by God, and we find that Jesus in the synagogue is joined by a person who has a shriveled hand. And that's all we find out about him. We don't know how that happened. We don't know where he's from. We don't know if he's had this his whole life. We just know he has a shriveled hand. Mark seems more intent on telling us about other people who are there with Jesus. So if you look at chapter 3, verse 2, Mark focuses more on these individuals. He says, some of them, who we find out later are the Pharisees, some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. So they watched him closely to see if he would heal the man on the Sabbath. And so these Pharisees are here, and they are intently watching and observing Jesus. They're watching, and they're waiting, and they're wishing for Jesus to do something so that they can accuse him of breaking the law. And so we already now have enough to understand the orientation of these Pharisees' hearts. Because they're watching him closely. And they want to get him. They want to nab him. They want to catch him when he messes up. Now Mark says here that they're waiting to see if Jesus will heal on the Sabbath. Healing was one of 39 different acts or works that were forbidden on the Sabbath. Now, if I had an emergency, a medical emergency where my life was in danger, that was okay. You could go ahead and help the person if it was a life-threatening situation. But if it was not a life-threatening situation, then that work of healing was forbidden on the Sabbath. However, following the rules and doing what's right isn't always the same thing, is it? Following the rules and doing what's right isn't always the same thing. Now, you might be saying to yourself, wow, I wonder what sort of philosophical reading Josh got that line from, yes? That's a great line, isn't it? Following the rules and doing what's right. I did not get that from a philosophical mind. That came from the TV show SWAT I watched earlier this week. But I heard that line, I'm like, oh, I like that. I can use that. Following the rules and doing what's right aren't always the same thing. And I think Jesus shares those sentiments. Would you agree? See, right here, Jesus is standing in this synagogue in front of this very invested crowd, a very interested crowd who is just waiting for him to mess up, waiting for him to give them a reason for them to accuse Jesus of breaking the law. And Jesus does something here, a very bold move. He says to the man with the shriveled hand, he says, hey, stand up. Stand up here in front of everyone. I think this is such an underrated moment in the passage. Just a bold move, really a shrewd move by Jesus. He's kind of like, you want to see what's going on? If you're so intent on watching what's happening here, let's just get this out in front of everyone here. And so he has the man stand up in front of everyone here. And then Jesus asks the question. Check out verse 4 with me. He's in the synagogue, the man with the shriveled hand, standing in front of everyone, and Jesus asks, which is lawful on the Sabbath? To do good or to do evil? To save life or to kill? And then there was silence. There's no answer given, is there? Because those who are looking to accuse, those who are looking to restrict, those who are looking to author and enforce rule after rule after rule and hamper the practice of Sabbath, they have no response. They are in a dilemma. Because Sabbath is good. And Sabbath is meant for good. So what is lawful on the Sabbath? Well, of course, it's good. And there's this long-standing virtue of the day that said if you have the opportunity to heal and you don't do it, that's evil. And so these Pharisees are caught in a dilemma here, and they cannot offer the only real answer there is to Jesus' question because their answer would prove them wrong in how they are handling Sabbath. They have a strict handling of Sabbath. It's all about restriction. It's all about enforcement of the rules. In fact, I was reading somewhere for this passage or for this message, some argue that there might even be 1,000 different little petty laws, little petty rules in order to honor and keep Sabbath holy. 1,000, can you imagine? The only answer to Jesus' question is that it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Because Sabbath is so much more than rules and restrictions. Sabbath is good. Sabbath is about healing. Sabbath is about wholeness. Sabbath is about restoration. And that's what Jesus does. He has the man standing out in front of everyone in the synagogue, and he says to that man, stretch out your hand. And he does so. And it says that his hand is completely restored. We'll talk about that word a little bit more in just a moment. But Jesus brings restoration on the Sabbath. Now let's jump up to the other soundbite. So you have your Bibles open yet? Let's jump up to chapter 2. And we're going to look at chapter 2, verse 27. That's what the soundbite is here of Jesus. And this one is not a question. This one is a declarative sentence, a declaration made by Jesus. We find that Mark is very clear. He wants us to know in verse 23, we are again on the Sabbath, right? It says one Sabbath. And it says that Jesus and his disciples are walking through a field. And as they walk through the field, the disciples are plucking grain, a few heads of grain. And seemingly out of nowhere, the Pharisees show up. And I can imagine these Pharisees as sort of the self-appointed Sabbath police. Because they show up out of nowhere, right? You ever have this? I mean, verse 23, Sabbath, Jesus, disciples plucking heads. And verse 24, there's the Pharisees out of nowhere. And it reminds me a little bit of the time that I got my first speeding ticket. And yes, I said first, because there's been more than one. I was 16 years old, had my license for 3 months. To my credit, did I tell this story before? To my credit, I was racing to church because I was late for my dad's Sunday school class. Flying down Main Street of Hall, Iowa, 20-mile-per-hour zone, going 40 or so. And I was so intent on getting to class, I pull into the church parking lot, and I get out of my car, and the first thing I see is the cop car behind me with the lights going. Never saw him once. No clue where he came from. No clue that he was following me in front of all the people at church. There I am, right? Comes out of nowhere. You ever have that before? Where did they come from? That's what I feel like here in this passage, right? Because verse 23 says, one Sabbath, Jesus' disciples, they're walking, they're plucking heads of grain. And then verse 24, there's the Pharisees. They're the Sabbath police, and they've got their lights flashing, and they're saying to Jesus, hey, buddy, what's going on? Why are your disciples doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? A few minutes ago, we heard that healing was one of 39 things you can't do. Well, guess what else you can't do? A second thing is you can't harvest. You can't pluck heads of grain. That's considered harvest. Now, normally, on any other day, what they're doing is just fine. In fact, there's a law that says for farmers and for harvesters that when you're going through the grain field and you're harvesting and you get a few feet down and you look back like, oh, I missed a few stalks of grain, you don't go back. It's, the law literally says you leave those for those who are traveling and those who are sojourning and journeying through. And so those are four of the people who are coming through later. However, the very fact that it's Sabbath and the disciples, all they're doing is just this. They're plucking heads of grain. And it's considered a no-no on the Sabbath. But again, I just love the move that's pulled here by Jesus. Check out verse 25. If you have your Bibles open, chapter 2, 25. Look at verse 25. And do not tell me that Jesus doesn't have a little feistiness to him. Okay? He says, have you never read what David did? And I'll stop right there. Who is Jesus talking to here? He's talking to who? Pharisees, right? Pharisees who are experts of the law. Pharisees who have devoted their whole lives to studying God's word, and Jesus says to them, hey, I don't know, but do you ever hear about this dude named David and what he did? Right, don't tell me Jesus doesn't have a little feistiness. He's poking the bear here just a little bit, yes? But what just as important here, probably a lot more important, is the passage that Jesus is referring to. He's referring to this situation with David in 1 Samuel chapter 21, where David is on the run. He's not king yet. But he's running away from jealous King Saul. And he and his men arrive at a place called Nob. And there's a priest there named Ahimelech. And David and his men, they arrive and they're famished. They're starving. They're hungry. And they say to Ahimelech, do you have any food for us? And Ahimelech says, I have no regular bread for you. All I have is this consecrated bread. This bread that is called showbread, S-H-E-W bread. Showbread is bread that was placed in the holy place, which is just outside the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. Showbread is the sacred, consecrated bread that is offered as a thank offering to God for his daily provisions. Now think about that, daily provisions, bread. There's other stuff going on there as well. Well, that's a different sermon for a different time. But this showbread is there as a thank offering in the holy place, and it stays there for a week, and then it's replaced the next Sabbath by the next offering, and then the old bread is then eaten, and it can only be eaten by priests. And that's the only bread that Ahimelech has, and Ahimelech gives it to David, who is not a priest, and David gives it to his companions. None of them are priests as well. And Jesus, when he says, have you never read? Well, of course they have. They know this story. And so Jesus shares that with them, and then it comes to his soundbite. So jump down to verse 27. Jesus says, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Believe it or not, some of the rabbis of the day were teaching, and they believed that humanity was created to keep Sabbath. That our purpose as human beings was to do good and to be good in order to keep Sabbath good. And so therefore you had rules and restrictions and regulations in order to keep the reverence of the day. And a violation of that, like plucking heads of grain, considered harvest, considered work, that was a violation of the purpose for which we were created. Now, verse 27, Jesus' soundbite here, he rejects it completely, doesn't it? We do not make Sabbath good. We do not make Sabbath good. Sabbath is already good. In fact, Sabbath is holy. We heard that a couple weeks ago. God deemed that Sabbath is holy. It is not us. It's not what we do. It's not what we don't do that makes Sabbath what it is meant to be. The heart of Sabbath is that Sabbath is good and it is good for us. Sabbath was made for you and for me, for our good, for our rest, for us to be healed, for us, like David's hunger, like the disciples' hunger, for us to be restored. And I love that Mark intentionally puts these two passages and thus these two sound bites together to affirm that Sabbath is for our good. I love how one commentator says it. We'll put this quote up here on the screen. One commentator says, Sabbath's true intent is to be a day designed to benefit, not deprive, humanity of well-being and health. I love that. Benefit, not deprive. Or if we take that, you know, maybe even a step further, we look deeper into these passages and we see the testimony is that Sabbath is for good. And the goodness of Sabbath is that Sabbath, we see in these two passages, Sabbath is about restoration. Another commentator says it this way. We'll put this quote on the screen as well. Sabbath was God's loving provision for us to rest and worship. And we've heard that a couple times in the videos. I'm grateful for that. And I love the last little clause here. To have a chance to heal. Let me just paraphrase that. Sabbath is God's loving provision for us to have a chance to heal, to be restored. And in both of these passages here, both of these sound bites here, they testify to Sabbath as restoration. The hunger of Jesus and his disciples, it's restored through the plucking of grain. This man who has a shriveled hand stretches it out and it's completely restored. Friends, our rhythm with Sabbath and the rest that we find in Sabbath, it leads to our restoration. When we engage Sabbath, even in the midst of the craziness of our life, and it can so often consume us, but when we engage Sabbath, Sabbath does what Sabbath was created to do, the good work of restoration. I think it was just last weekend. We were around the dinner table in our house, and my kids were giving me a little bit of a hard time. That, Dad, it's been a little while since you made us say one of those hard Greek or Hebrew words. Challenge accepted. Actually, didn't know, but I have a word prepared for us for this week. And it's a doozy, okay? So I said a little bit ago, we are going to look at that word restored again. So look at chapter 3, verse 5. The man stretches out his hand, and it's completely restored. What does this restoration look like? Well, the Greek word there for restored, just give me a second, so I've been practicing this all week, okay? The word is apokatestethē. Not bad, huh? Apokatestethē. Yay, blame my kids for this one, okay? Because you're going to say this with me, right? They challenge me. So apokatestethē, you got it? All right, let's say it together. Apokatestethē. Hey, pretty good. Let's do it one more time. Apokatestethē. Very, very good. All right. Apokatestethē. What does it mean? It means to bring back. It means to restore. That's obvious enough, right? But the emphasis of apokatestethē is to restore to an earlier condition. And so there's no lasting effects. There's no markers. There's no scars from trials or tribulations endured. That's Sabbath as restoration. That the goodness of Sabbath is that as we practice Sabbath, Sabbath invites us to a restoration, an apokatestethē, a restoration that is sort of like a reset. That in our life, when things get a little funky, when things get out of sync, when things go off the rails, the goodness of Sabbath is that it offers you and me restoration. It offers us a way to back to the place, back to the way that God has always intended us to be. I personally resonated with what Susan said on the video. Did you hear what she said? Right? I mark my days by how much I get done, by how much I achieve, how much I accomplish, and I'm right there with her. Maybe some of you are as well. And what Sabbath offers is the day to be restored. Because what happens when every day is about accomplishment, every day is about achievement, and we go, and we go, and we go, and we push, and we push, and we push, and we ignore that, oh, I'm getting a little tired. Or we ignore that, oh, I got a little aches and pains, and I'm ignoring the fact that maybe I'm getting a little on edge. It's the same way with an athlete or a runner. You can't train every single day. You need to let a day to have your muscles and your body to be refreshed and restored. And so what happens is we push and we push and we push, and there's a grind. And then maybe if you're working out, there's that little tweak in your hammy. You're like, oh, just keep going. And then the tweak gets a little worse, and it gets a little worse, and pretty soon you're done for a while. Or if you push and you push and you push and you push and you're getting a little irritable, what happens the next day? Maybe a little bit more irritable, and the next day a little bit even more irritable, and all of a sudden you blow up, right? If we push and we push and we push and we push, and what Sabbath offers to us is a time to say, time out. Stop for a moment. Reset. Things are out of sync. Things are not as they should be. Sabbath offers space to be restored to the way that we are meant to be, in relationship with each other, in relationship with God, apokatestethē. Some of us, not all of us, but some of us, including myself, grew up in a context where some of us have only ever experienced Sabbath in a negative sort of sense or in a sense of restriction. I grew up in a context where Sabbath was more about restriction. The do not do this, do not do that. We don't do this on this day because we have to keep the sake of the day. It's for the gift of the day. It's for the holiness of the day. And for me, when I read what's going on in the minds and the hearts of the Pharisees, that's the lens through which the Pharisees look at Sabbath, that we have to do, or we have to do something, or we have to be this in order for the sake of the day. And I believe that this passage offers to us a different perspective. This passage offers to us a reminder that Sabbath is good. And Sabbath is good no matter who I am or what I do or what I don't do. Because Sabbath is for my good. Sabbath is about our restoration, our return, our restoring us. It's not that we are to be a blessing to Sabbath. It's that Sabbath is a blessing to us. And so here's my challenge for us today. I'd love to challenge us that as we think about Sabbath as restoration, I'm wondering if we can do some good, honest, hard work this morning. Can we take a moment this morning and just acknowledge those things in our own life that are maybe out of sync? Those things that are a little out of sync right now. Maybe, you know, we see in our passage there's hunger. That's not right. And there's a shriveled hand. That's not right. And we see that both of them are restored. And I'm not saying we're hungry. I'm not talking about us having disfigured limbs, those sorts of things. I'm talking with great experience in myself. And maybe you have this as well. That without the regular rhythmic practice of finding rest in Jesus Christ through Sabbath, engaging a constant go, 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 go lifestyle, it wears me thin. Does it wear you thin as well? Or it can get us out of balance and we lose the perspective on what things are to be priority in our life. Or it can push us away, even so subtly, unintentionally, that we stop living and being the fullness of who God has intended us to be, ourselves and in relationship with Him and others. Friends, ignoring Sabbath as restoration only leads to us to fall further away from who God created us to be and from the rest in which He desires for us to abide. And so I want to challenge us this morning to consider what feels off, what's out of sync, what needs a reset, what in your life, what in my life needs epiketestase. We need Sabbath as restoration. And I'm wondering, can all of us just bravely acknowledge that this morning? And we're not going to share, we're not going to talk to anybody else about this. This is between you and God this morning. So what I want to challenge us to do is to name that ourselves and to confess that ourselves. And then, as Jesus says, He's the Lord of the Sabbath. And last week we heard Jesus say, come to me, come to Him. And in Him we're going to find rest. We can delight in the goodness that Sabbath is for us. We can find the restoration that Sabbath will provide, healing and wholeness and rest. Restoration. And so what I want to do this morning is I'm just going to give us just a moment before we pray, just a moment of silence that's going to fill this space. And I would love to encourage us, I want to challenge us just to consider what's out of sync in my life right now? What's just a little off rails? What's a little bit that's just not flowing like it should go? What in my life needs to be restored? Can we name that to God this morning and then seek God and say, God, would you do the Sabbath work of restoration as I find my rest in Christ? Can you take a moment to do that and then I'll pray. Let's pause and reflect. Pray together. God, in the stillness of this moment, we recognize just once again that you're faithful and you have an abiding presence with us. God, we declare again this morning, you created us, you know us, you love us. And by your incredible gift of grace for us, you have brought us to yourself through your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ. And you continue to be at work, returning us to you through the gift of Sabbath. And in these holy moments, those rhythmic moments of a part of our life, whatever those look like for us, whether how short or how long, which day it is, does not matter. But we're thankful that in those holy moments of Sabbath, you return and you restore us to yourself. The one in whom we find, as we heard earlier as well, our identity, our hope, and our rest. God, we do ask that in these areas of our life that are out of sync and off the rails, where things are not as they should be, would you give us both the courage and the resolve to engage Sabbath, to come to Jesus, to be unburdened by the things that we are carrying, and to take on His easy and light yoke and find restoration through Jesus our Savior. Lord, hear our prayer this morning as we lift up our praises and our concerns to you. We pray for Arvid and Julie as they mourn the passing of Julie's father this past week. We pray for LaVon and for Sandy after their recent falls and ask that you would bring healing to their bodies. We pray for Alex's recovery from surgery and that healing would come for him as well. God, today we do give you thanks for all the women in our lives and all who we want to honor well today. We are so, so grateful for the women and the role that they play in our lives. God, we also just acknowledge that this is a difficult day as well. Whether they are wishing and waiting to be moms themselves or for those who are missing moms this day, or for those whose relationships with moms are strained, however there's a heartache. And so while we celebrate and while we honor God, we are also very sensitive to this day. God, we continue to pray for our communities, pray for our nation, we pray for our world. The headlines, right, the sound bites that we do see in the media and the news so often paint such a grim picture of things, and it can be disheartening. And so, God, we once again want to proclaim and live into the trust that we have of your sovereign reign over this world. And though Satan and evil will attempt to discourage, and even though today we know that things are not as they were intended to be, God, we believe in your plan, we believe in your will, and we believe in your continued work in this world toward whole restoration. And we look for and we long for the day when Jesus will come again and in which he will restore all things. It really in that spirit of apokatestethe, that Jesus will return, all things will return to the way that they once were and were always meant to be. We pray for that day to come. Until then, God, we move forward as people of faith and of hope. People who claim the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, his life, his death, and his resurrection. And we live with confidence and with boldness, knowing that our God is indeed faithful, and he is forever with us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.